Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be looking at Northgard and other games. Okay, so Northgard, I think it's an old game that was for like the PC or whatever, but it recently, within the last, I want to say, few months, got ported to Switch, which I then purchased for, I think, a sweet $30 maybe. And then it just sat on my Switch store, my Switch menu for, well, yeah, like 3 months. And then eventually I was like, what if it's good? What if I should play it? And I did, and it's good.
Okay.
So,
Yes.
No better feeling than buying a Switch game, either a new release indie or maybe something that's got like 20% off, just like a bit of a sale, buying it and then not installing it and just letting it sit in your library until maybe the end of time.
Yes.
Yeah, that is satisfying.
It's good. It's like,
now, Zabit,
there it is.
I feel like I get Northgard confused with like 10 other different games.
Look, and I wouldn't shock me.
Jotun.
Yep.
Look. Banner Saga 1 and 2.
I have played at least two of these games, and you know what? Correct. There is
King's Quest.
That Viking aesthetic that is just
Night
great
Trap.
And lovely.
Grim Fandango.
LucasArts, the game company.
Yeah. George Lucas, the man.
The day that...
Holy shit, that's a game that made Star Wars.
Yeah.
Cool.
Day of the Tentacle? Is that one?
Yeah. Is that the guy that made Star Wars? I can't remember. He really messed up those prequels, hey?
Yeah.
The game did.
People didn't really like those prequels, but man, they loved pod racing. Tell you
what. That was cool.
Yeah.
I guess Vikings is a very large well to draw from in regards to video games. We're getting Assassin's Creed Sneaky Vikings soon.
Hey,
so
that's true.
Hey, that's something.
Yeah. Valhalla.
It's an RTS set in the realm of Vikings. And so, hey, do you know when RTSs used to be good?
I recall, yes.
Age of Empires 2. Yeah. Red Alert.
Okay, so were you ever a fan of Warcraft 3 era RTS?
I think Age of Empires 2
Warhammer.
Was around then.
Okay.
I have played Warcraft 3. Yeah. I don't remember it, but I have definitely played it.
Okay.
I was more a Warcraft 2 man.
I did love
Warcraft
2. I
reckon I could list the RTSs I've played in my life on my hand.
Go on.
All right, let's go.
Age of Empires 2.
Yeah,
Empire Earth, maybe on one hand. What's that game where you combine animals to make new animals and it's an RTS?
Black and White? Is that what it's called?
No, Fantastic Beasts, maybe?
And Where to Find Them?
No. I'm going to sound crazy. Fabulous Beasts?
I'm pretty sure.
Fabulous Beasts and Hide and Seek?
No. There's a game and you're like a guy, and it's an RTS, it's top-down, and you go out and you gotta hunt, find animals, and you shoot them with a tranquilizer, and then you can combine them in your lab to make, like, various... You can get the horny toad and the bear and combine them to get the horny bear.
A fever dream you had once?
are you sure it's absolutely not Black and White? A god video game...
It's not black and white. Oh, no.
Is it niche?
No,
it's not neat. It's
black and white is literally what you're describing.
You don't go out and shoot a horny toad in Black and White.
Black and White is like, you combine stuff all the time in that, and it's
an RTS
god game. Yeah, it is, don't you?
No. You just start with a little gross, like, monkey ape creature and all.
Impossible creatures! It's impossible fucking creatures! I'm not crazy.
All right, so that's a third one. What else?
Yeah.
Warhammer 40K?
Yep.
Okay.
Does
I'm gonna answer your question with a follow-up question. Is it an RTS? Because if yes, then yes, it counts. If it's not, then no.
What's that game? all the nerds love it. It's top down, but not really. It's long. It's
Dungeons
boring.
And Dragons.
Right.
Diablo.
No.
Did you say it's long and boring?
Yeah.
Okay. Like length of time or the game?
Oh, Civilization?
Yeah, Civilization. Does that count?
Yeah, I guess.
Then I've played five RTSs in my life.
The best one is Rise of Nations, because you can get, like, you go from killing people with rocks to killing people with guns.
That's cool.
Okay.
I remember in the game Empire Earth, I never passed the feudal stage, but my friends were in the future, and they just walled off my continent and patrolled it, and I was not allowed to uprise. I got enslaved in a game that wasn't designed for that. But it was always funny when one of his satellites would fly over and I'd be like, Chuck, I guess your axe is at it, guys. Shoot it out of the sky. What is it? And then I just started making the like basic workers that build things. And I made as many of them as the game would allow and tried to rise up. And I was killed in my entirety by, I think, three guys in armor. So, and those are my RTS experiences.
Okay.
Were they good?
I'm glad Impossible Creatures was real. Thank God.
Well, I think I guess I've played a lot more RTSs than you, and I think moving from a PC to a Mac and then mostly like handheld games, not really kind of like playing any kind of RTSs again. So I think before I played this particular RTS, like the last one I played would have been maybe like StarCraft 2 or something like that. So it's been a while since I actually played an RTS, and the idea of playing an RTS on a console, it seemed daunting to me. And it was one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. But it was really good. It's really well made. It's a really good port. I did play this single mode, sorry, the story mode, and then I did a couple of like single matches against AI. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like, again, it was a lot of fun to do that. But I think if you were doing it against other players, it would be arse-ache on the Switch.
You
wouldn't want to do it. So the basic premise is, you know, you're a Viking tribe.
Yep.
The story mode. Actually, we've got a story mode. So the story mode, it was relatively short. Mm-hmm. You kind of complete it if you weren't paying too much attention in about 2 days, which I did.
48-hour game. That's big.
Basically.
Damn.
So, you know, you start off, your dad got killed by some lad. I did a bit of a classic Jackson Bailey skip A a lot.
Skip A.
Skip A. Don't even tap A, dude. You're skipping that.
Just move on. I don't need. Like, I just put the switch down and came back.
That's true game of strats, there, Zaman. To skip the pressing of the button.
Someone figure this out. So I skipped a lot of the storyline initially. I was like, "What? Who? Huh? Okay." So some lad kills my dad, and then I'm on like a quest to go and avenge him. And apparently, like, at the end, it was just like, oh, he stole my axe. And I was like, I had an axe this whole time that got stolen? Wait a minute, what? Or maybe it was a horn. Look, either way,
yeah.
The storyline is a lot of fun. It kind of introduces you to the mechanics. I really liked it. It was surprisingly hard. Some of the levels, I was like, hey, it should be easy. Well, I got my ass handed to me. Yeah. Oh, no.
It's a good feeling.
It was a good feeling. It was just like, okay, I got to pay attention and do good here.
Yeah.
The story mode kind of takes you how, like, you know, different win conditions, as it were. So it's like, okay, wind this one you have to win conditions.
Win or wind with a D?
Win. Why so, would there be wind conditions?
I don't know. Wind Wake has wind conditions.
Maybe there's a windy map. I don't know.
I haven't played this game. I'm just tracing what you're saying. If you're talking wind conditions, I'm listening.
Well, look.
It's like arrows are going to go different.
I guess you could argue that there is wind conditions, but it's more like weather conditions. So a big part of it is survival.
So you were talking about win conditions, like how
win
victory.
Conditions. Yes. Yeah, victory conditions. So it's kind of like, you know, gather this much. And it's like your basic RTS, gather wood, gather meat, gather berries, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So the whole kind of concept is, it's like it follows season. And when there is winter, that's when shit hits the fan and your minions or little villagers will be like, oh, no, we're hungry and we're using a lot of wood. And we have a happiness meter. The game does not at all hold your hand in like where the menu stuff is. So it wasn't until I think after the story mode and then maybe losing in a single player game that I found out that you can actually go to your resources and find out just why your villagers are unhappy, which was nice. And also that there was like a military skill tree that you could kind of access. So didn't know that until much later into the game.
Yeah, that's
unfair. Yeah. Was it helpful when you found it?
Yeah, so it gives you more bonuses. So you can be like, oh, that's cool. There was also like, I was again playing it against the AI and they were like, blah, blah, has started building a relic. And I'm like, how?
What? I'd love
what
to
What is
that.
This? This sounds great. How do I get involved?
I wish I knew.
So there was this very much, maybe it did tell me, but I'm, you know, very bad and just, you know, just whoopsie daisies. But the storyline is very basic. There was a lot of fun. It was quite short. And the way it kind of works is like once you expand, you have like little tiles around like hexagon kind of things. And you can kind of like go and colonize each hexagon and each tile will have a different effect. So like, oh, this one is like 10% extra wood or this one is like, hey, you can has fertile fields. You can build a farm here, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Or like, hey, this one had a random sheep. Do you want to slaughter it? And you're like,
Slaughter some sheep.
And then each tile has a maximum of like three buildings you can place and or some up to two. And so you can just kind of like, you know, using the like a radial menu and like, you know, the triggers left or right, you can sort of place down buildings. And it surprisingly worked. Like it surprisingly was effective in terms of an RTS. I thought the controls were going to be a lot more arse-achy. And again, they weren't. They were just really, really like a lot, very smooth to kind of control.
That's so impressive. Because like I think I've played... it would have probably been on like maybe the PS3. I forget. I know I've played like an RTS like that, and moving a mouse with a joystick is one of the worst feelings in gaming.
Yeah, it makes you throw up.
It makes you, your bile rises in your throat. So it's impressive that they've managed, especially in the Switch, which I feel like is like that kind of game would have to be so downgraded, or I don't know. Like it's impressive they got that to.
I would assume
not feel awful.
You were making it for the Switch. You would be like, sweet touchscreen, baby. Select your fellas. But yeah, my only RTS experience on a home console was... probably would have been in the realm of 1999 to 2001 when I played Red Alert on the PS1. And let me tell you, it controlled like shit.
What? I'm shocked. I am a shocked boy.
The PlayStation 1 that I was playing it on didn't have DualShock yet, so I only had the pad to use. Made it worse.
Okay. Yeah, wow.
Okay. That no thank you. Yeah. So the story mode is very fun. The only kind of like negative thing about that is that it ends and it's like, oh, I kind of wish there was more.
fair.
Cuz it is quite short and like I don't really, you know, want to play against other people, and I was enjoying the storyline. It was very simple, very basic, but it was fun nevertheless. And as you complete them, like there's no easy mode. It starts off with normal. Normal is your base.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So you can't go below normal, which is very funny. And I'm like, fair enough. So I didn't go above normal because I'm bad.
Do you usually play games on easy?
Not really. I usually just play on normal.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Chad's only here, please. No easy mode versions.
Yeah. Okay. Every time you complete a level, when you go back to the main map, they'll have like, hey, now that you've beaten the level, here are three like bonus objectives that you could do. So if you want to go back and play it with some like, hey, make sure you say defeat the main bad guy in only like
X
2 years,
time,
or
yeah.
Hey, you know, make sure you control this much blah. So that's like, oh, that's kind of cool for like a bit of replayability if you kind of want. So that was a lot of fun, and I kind of wish, I was like, oh, maybe there's some expansion pack. So I looked on the Switch store. There is an expansion pack, but it just adds another clan with like different abilities. And I was like, well, that's not what I want. And then I went online and had a quick look at it and was like, oh, wow, this game's a lot bigger. There is a lot more clans on, like, the PC versions and everything like that. But no, they didn't continue the storyline. And I'm like, that's fair.
That's
it did end in a pretty decent way. But I kind of wanted more, you know, ability to keep going. Yeah, so I had a couple of swings at the single player mode. So that's kind of like, you know, you choose your clan, you can choose your map type, and you can kind of make it big, small, blah, 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 blah. And then you're just like, hey, have fun in it, enjoy. And you can do like a conquest only mode, which is like the only way to win is to wipe every other clan off the map. Or another way to is like very similar to, I guess, Civilization.
Jackson's like, favorite game, The Long Boring.
Yeah, he loves that game.
I'm an expert. Yeah. It's true.
Jackson loves The Long Dark, hates The Long Boring.
Yeah, give me the quick fun.
Quick fun.
So kind of similar to that and like similar to sort of other games, there's like multiple ways of winning. So I was like, yes, you can do the conquest line and like destroy everyone, or you can sort of like, hey, you can upgrade your dock to have a lighthouse and you can start these great trade routes. And so you need a lot of money for this and you get some points and once you get the maximum there, or it's like, hey, you start worshipping and like you sort of worship stones. And if you get them like the most faith points, you're like, hey, that's another way of winning, et cetera.
Yeah, okay.
So there's
a few... Yeah, meet God, yeah, punch him in the face.
That is a way of winning.
So there's like a different kind of ways of winning. And so I tried the conquest one and boy, did I get my ass handed to me. Mm-hmm. And then I tried another one and I won by being a God boy. That was a lot of fun. So I was like, good. I'm a clever man who loves his God.
I always find that that's the easiest way to win in RTSs, whichever is like the... Like in Age of Empires, it's like if you build the...
Build the wonder.
The wonder, like you'll win. Yeah. It's
absolutely
It's like blah 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 has started constructing the wonder, go stop him. I can't, I'm crap,
I'm just a boy, he's building a temple or whatever.
Yeah, he's building a temple and I'm still in like the stone age.
I'm sitting on rocks for fun or something.
So it's a lot of, like, again, even just doing the single player against like sort of AI for me was a lot of fun. It had the same kind of energy that I have when I was playing sort of like Into the Breach, which is a game that I can kind of just kind of, you know, block out literally everything, and then I'm playing this till 3 a.m. and no, it's 3 a.m. This is a game I probably will have to uninstall at some point,
just for your own,
just for my own safety. But like, if you were doing like a long haul flight or you were traveling around the country, remember when we could do that?
No,
damn. I miss it.
Yeah. It's a mere wisp of a memory to Joel Dushan.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever left my house.
So, again, if we're ever traveling again, it might be something I'd reinstall because, like, a simple, like, even if it's like a 1v1 map, you could take, like, an hour. And you're like, I just killed an hour. That's great. So, again, it's a lot of fun. I really recommend it. Especially if you're having like an RTS itch to scratch and you don't own a PC and you have a Switch, which I can understand is a very niche market.
They're out there.
Like anything, like the gripes I have with this game are the fact that like it is an RTS on a Switch. So like have your expectations at that level.
Yeah.
Like of course this game I feel would be a lot better on a PC.
So, everyone should set their standards to the fact that it controls bad, looks bad, and feels bad.
It looks really, really good, though. So, I really like the animation style. So
looks good, feels bad.
It feels okay, and it handles fine. So, again, it's kind of like, look, I really enjoyed it. I'd probably give it, about four thumbs. If you had played maybe it on, like, a PC and maybe competitively against other people, you'd be like, this is dog shit. Why would you recommend it, you big idiot? And I'm like, fair enough. I'm sorry I couldn't play this on easy. It didn't give me the option. And then you would have spit in my mouth and maybe sleep with my girlfriend. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
You certainly made me want to play Age of Empires again.
Yeah. So yeah. That was the point of the review. Great success.
Good job.
Man, I loved Age of Empires. Bring it back. What's going on? You ever play Age of Mythology? Oh, that was bad. I did not care for Age of Mythology.
Yeah, I never did. I remember playing, do you remember the Age of Empires mode? I think it was Age of Empires. It might have been Empire Earth, where it was called Kings, and the idea was that you had to kill the other player's kings. Yes. I was like building up my town, but secretly putting my king on a boat and sending him to one corner of the map. Because then when everybody demolished my town, and I was like, where's my king? And then they were like, we'll get him, Jackson.
And you're like, good luck.
Try and find him. We found him. Run away! Get out of there, king!
Yeah, because Age of Empires has a wonder or something that when you build, it reveals the whole map. So that strategy would have only lasted so long.
Oh, you've built a navy, I see.
I think my thinking was that I knew I was never going to win, but I could hold out for as long as
possible.
You could
be annoying, and that's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See, I always went Britons, because I know they had like longbowmen, and so I'd just be like, build a castle, chuck it full of longbowmen, and that was my strat. And then I was like, I'm undefeatable. And some prick would be like, I've got catapults or whatever. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm defeatable.
oh, of course.
Yeah. Siege weapon? Who knew?
Damn.
Yeah, I was never quite good. I'm just not good at RTSs. I like them.
Oh, me neither.
I love playing them. I enjoy them. I love the progression. I really like, hey, look at this skill tree. Look at my little villages. Like, go. This is a lot of fun. And then they're like, oh, no, I'm being attacked and everything's dying.
Yeah.
That's the other thing with, like, Northgard is that, like, it's very easy to get into a failure loop or a negative feedback loop. Oh. So it's just like, oh no, my villagers are unhappy and they're not enjoying their life. And all right, I'll try and fix it. Okay, because they're unhappy, they're not fixing their lives. So that's not good.
Hey.
Okay, and now more of them are unhappy and some of them are sick. Okay.
Hey,
okay.
Hashtag relatable content. Am I right, fellas? Whoa. Whoa, the RTS or real life alt for us? It's hard to say.
So all in all, if you want an RTS kind of a game to scratch that itch and all you have is a Switch, highly recommend grabbing this bad boy on the Switch store. But if you're like, I like RTS, and unlike you, idiot, I have a PC, there are better ones out there, you dickhead. And
just
you might get
too,
like
yeah.
Empire Mode 2. StarCraft 2, it's still kicking.
Yeah.
Probably.
And look, there's a story.
Impossible Creatures.
Impossible Creatures.
Pretty sure Warcraft 3 is still kicking as well.
Oh, yeah, they did a re-release of it, like an update.
Oh, that's
everyone
right.
Everyone
hated it.
Because it was bad. Yeah, I didn't pick it up.
Maybe it's good now. It's
Maybe
probably
it
not.
No. Oh, well, while we reminisce about StarCraft, Warcraft, here's a quick word about our sponsors. Here's a quick word from our sponsors.
Thank you so much, sponsors. You're a blessing these times that are uncertain. So,
all right, so what have you boys been playing?
So, Jackson, shut up for a second, because I got something awesome to talk about.
I didn't even start talking.
I was looking at you, and your mouth was quivering, and I was like, he's going to speak if I don't.
That's just
his mouth.
Doesn't mean stuff's going to come out of it.
There's always just like a soft hum.
Just wanting to fill that silence. Yeah. Not even a voice. Yeah, it's just air going through his folds.
Yeah, that's it, baby.
It's not even breathing. It's like how the great.
It's just the wind. Yeah. It's just the wind.
Just the wind, exactly. Nothing to be afraid of, just the wind. All right, what's this cool thing?
So I've been chasing the high of Doom Eternal since I beat Doom Eternal. So I was like, you know what game I really like that I've played in the past? Wolfenstein. That's a really similar feel to the Doom games because they're made by the same company. And then I was like, I haven't played The Old Blood, which was the DLC. Wolfenstein The Old Blood is DLC for Wolfenstein The New Order, which was the first one. And they released it as two DLC packs, and then they put it all together and released it as like a $30 or $40 game. So it's not quite like full length, but it was like a 6 or 7 hour game, so it was fine.
That's pretty decent.
Anyway, I was like, oh yeah, hell yeah, I'll pick that up. Just scratch that itch, forgetting that this game is DLC and feels like it, and also focuses on weird aspects of the Wolfenstein games.
Okay,
so straight off the bat, the first chapter of the game is almost entirely a stealth mission, which is not fun.
Who knew?
Yeah.
A stealth mission in Wolfenstein.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
What a choice.
Well, they do them. They're scattered throughout the first two games, but there's significantly less in Wolfenstein 2, presumably because they realize they're not that fun.
I was about to say, so when you did do a stealth mission in the main game, was it? Did everyone love this aspect? Was everyone like a standout time was when we had to be quiet?
Well, kind of, but only because... So Wolfenstein is like in a weird in-between where it's really fun to play and is like a very unbelievable, crazy first-person shooter. But it also has like a weird story that occasionally has huge emotional beats.
Okay.
So a lot of the time when there was a stealth mission, it was like fine because it fit the story. But by opening a game with a stealth mission, you're like, I don't care yet.
Yeah, I was thinking that, like, a stealth mission would be, like, a bit of a palate cleanser. Yeah. Where you're like, okay, I've done a lot of, like, running and gunning. Maybe I'd just like to take it back a peg. But you can't start with a palate cleanser.
No. Yeah. And they introduced a new weapon and mechanic because of it, which is you've got a lead pipe that, like, has, this, like, screws in half, and you can use that to climb up certain walls, so you, like, jam it into the wall. That's cool.
Oh, okay.
But they clearly were like, oh, sweet, that's best suited to, like, stealth areas. So, yeah, stealth. A lot of stealth. So the start of the game is you sneak into Castle Wolfenstein, which makes sense. Mm. But then, yeah, you immediately are facing, like, really strong enemies from the back half of the first game when you don't have any weapons or you've just got a pistol. So you've got to stealth past them, otherwise you'll die. Where in the other games, if you just fail stealth, you just have to be ready to shoot a lot of guys. But these ones fully armored. Like, you literally just can't kill them with a pistol. So that sucked. But after I cleared, like, the first, like, stealthy part, I was like, oh, no, it's still fun. Like, huge shootouts and stuff like that still rule. So, you know, with The Last of Us 2, how people are like, oh, man, you got to kill heaps of dogs and it's depressing. They have not played Wolfenstein the Old Blood.
You gotta kill dogs, it's great! Talking?
So in the stealth section, the only things you can kill are dogs.
Okay,
Jackson is immediately
cool.
more interested now. He doesn't want everyone to know how much his light has just lit, how his face has just lit up.
So in the first two chapters, I reckon I killed anywhere between 20 and 30 dogs with my pipe.
That's a lot of dead
the
dogs.
Rules.
There's so many dogs you have. And this isn't like The Last of Us. There's no, like, you can't stealth around them. You have to kill these dogs.
That's amazing.
I guess they're Nazi dogs, but they're still just dogs.
They're dogs. No dog is a Nazi.
Like,
dog wouldn't understand what you meant if you explained the Nazi ideology to it. And it just
No. Kill these Nazi loving dogs. I'm with you.
So
I guess the dog would be excited it was getting attention. I don't know.
Yeah, the first two dogs you face, one charges at you and you stab it with your half of your pipe that you use to jam into a wall. So like they're also very violent deaths. It's not like even like in The Last of Us Part 2 where you can just shoot a dog in the head. No, these are like cutscene deaths. So it's like, but it's not actually a cutscene, it's like a takedown. So you're still doing it, not like that the... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I was blown away with how many dogs I had to kill. And then, like, the game progresses...
Do they stay?
What?
Like, do the dead dogs stay there? Like, or is it kind of like in video games where, like, oh, the dead will, like, fade away after a while, or someone will come in and clean it up?
Yes, the castle
like,
full of dead dogs.
Could you go back and look at what you've caused?
Honestly can't...
Kind of like how, you know, Hansel and Gretel left breadcrumbs.
I left a lot of dead dogs, yes. So Wolfenstein is it's kind of open world, but it's like you're getting from A to B, and once you get to B, then it's like the next level sort of situation. The bodies definitely stay there for a while, but I can't remember if they do fade after time, or if they just stay there, but then obviously when you finish the level, you can't go back. But yeah, like, I cannot express to you how many dogs you have to kill in this. And because, during the stealth parts, you're sneaking up on dogs and you're performing a takedown, that usually includes, either includes you slitting a dog's throat or beating it over the head with a pipe. It's just...
Far out. Far out.
Which, look... Pretty funny, just to include so much of that in your game.
As a DLC as well.
It also becomes a story beat, because you kill... There's like a second in charge. There's like a second in charge guy. So, during the stealth stuff, you do eventually get kidnapped. You get tricked. You get... not kidnapped. Arrested. Held prisoner. And your friend does as well, and then you go to rescue your friend, and he's being put in an electric chair, and you fail, like, in-game, you fail it, and he gets killed. Oh, and as revenge, you kill the guy's dog, so then he comes to get revenge from you. And like, there's this dialogue.
You're so good at it at this point.
Yeah, like, yeah, I was so good at killing dogs.
I just not a big deal.
Is this kind of like as a meeting with like, you know, at Wolfenstein HQ or whatever? And they're like, hey, look, loving the DLC. I just want to point out that you've got everyone killing a lot of dogs yeah. straight off the bat, and you've animated it. Like, look, it's beautiful. It's well done. Well
looks
done.
Great.
It looks great. But I just feel you've done a lot of dog killing, and they're like, yeah, you're right, I have. Don't worry, I can fix this. And so they've gone away thinking, okay, he's going to tone it down. But no, he's just made it more of like, a plot point.
Yeah.
I like to think that I'm the guy in that meeting, and like I've misunderstood why people hate the dogs. I'm like, yeah, because when you kill that guy's dog at the end to take revenge, you don't care about dog death anymore, you know? Like, it's not exciting that you get to kill his dog. It's a bit boring at this point.
Yeah,
you're desensitized to all the dog death.
Yeah, that dog you kill does happen in a cutscene. It's like you're also on the electric chair, and you manage to break free and kill this dog, and then the guy runs off, and then he's like, "You killed my dog!" And then you go up to the dog, and because all dogs you kill have 15 armor, it's like when you kill a guy in the game, you can take their helmet and it gives you armor. Dogs have 15 armor, so you can take armor from the dog, and he's like, "Yeah, that's right. Killed your dog."
I'm a bit sad that you didn't kill him by doing either a replacement switcheroo of you and dog in the electric chair.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. Yeah.
Great cutscene of you grabbing the dog, shoving it onto, like, I'm imagining an old timey electric chair, shoving like that the helmet of it onto the dog's skull. Mm-hmm. And turning it on.
Me, you know? Yeah, it's
just to be like, Wolfenstein, that chair's not designed for a dog.
What are you thinking, Wolfenstein?
William Blazkowicz, please use his real name. Or BJ.
BJ.
Or Terra Billy, as he gets called later in the series by the Nazis that hate him. Which is good.
That is funny.
The game does. So keep in mind that you kill heaps and heaps and heaps of dogs. And also,
I never forgot.
The last quarter of this game does. So the Wolfenstein games have like crazy plot elements. I get vague spoilers for games that are old, but like there's a point in the second one where your character gets beheaded. Like actually successfully beheaded, but your party.
You die?
No, well, yes, briefly. Your party is waiting where the head, because it's like a big ceremony, because you're the most hated man by the Nazis. You get beheaded, they catch your head, and they're able to attach it to a robot body quick enough that you're alive again for a bit. You just don't have a human body. So, like, that's dumb. And obviously, like, it borrows kind of, I guess, from, like, because the Wolfenstein games are set in the 60s, and I think there's a time jump at one point to, like, the early 80s, because the Nazis win World War II. So it's kind of like a throwback to like the pulpy kind of sci-fi stories of then. But in this DLC, you like one of the Nazis digs up an Egyptian king's tomb, which then causes zombie Nazis. And the final boss of this game is a giant mummy.
I have a question just about these zombie Nazis, just before you answer any other questions. So are they the dead Nazis that have been raised and now they're undead, or were they just zombies who also happen to be Nazis?
Nazis that have been brought back from they're undead. Were Nazis
and they've kept
and they
their
died.
Hateful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
They kept the hateful ideology after death.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then you kill them again, hopefully sending them to second hell. Hell's worse. But yeah, it's Oh, actually, no, they're not zombie Nazis. They're Nazis that are
They are zombie Nazis, but they're not Nazi zombies?
Yeah, they're not Nazis anymore because they attack the Nazis if there's zombies near a Nazi.
Okay.
They're just violent.
They're just zombies. They're just unrelated zombies.
Zombies that are wearing Nazi paraphernalia. It's a real Prince Harry situation again, where if you're wearing the armband and you don't believe the ideology, it's still bad.
Still bad. Okay. Zombies still cancelled, you know?
Yeah.
It's not
we're cancelling the royal family again. Yeah, I never forgot.
Yeah.
It was in, like, Woman's Day in, like, 2004 or whatever, and I saw that and I was like, that's not good.
It's never far from my mind. Okay.
So the final boss of this game, so there's, like, a Nazi scientist, there always is, and she's dug up this king's tomb, which results in zombies. But then the final boss is a mummy, like a big giant mummy.
Nazi mummy or just a mummy mummy?
Just a mummy mummy. This one kills Nazis as well, because it's one of those final boss battles where you're trying to kill it, but then enemies are swarming you, so you gotta like...
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is crazy. But then the game ends, and it ties directly into the start of Wolfenstein 1, which is...
Oh.
Like, the game ends with you going to the mission that starts, like, the New Order. So the idea that your character has just killed a giant mummy and fought like zombies and killed 150 dogs. It really changes the tone of the first game. Because the first level of the New Order is interesting in the sense of like, it's silly and over the top, but at the end, again, you get kidnapped by a scientist that, well, like captured by a Nazi scientist, and he makes you pick which one of your friends gets killed. And there's no escape from it. It's a choice you have to make. You have to watch one of your soldiers get shot in the head. The idea that, then, like that, when you first play, you're like, whoa, that is not what I expected from this type of game. But going straight from this DLC into that, you're like, wow, BJ's had one hell of a day. Also, just bring him back to life. You've seen the technology.
You've seen zombies. You know it's possible. Yeah.
Like, come on.
You fought a goddamn mummy. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty crazy game. Way crazier than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
But satisfying, because killing Nazis is good.
On the ranking of like what was the most satisfying to take down, was it like Nazi zombie, Nazi, or Nazi dog?
I'd probably go most satisfying was just regular run-of-the-mill Nazi. Yeah. Then probably Nazi zombie. And then, because if you hit them in their head explodes, and that's good.
That's good.
I also... Just quickly on the Nazi zombie thing, I accidentally made a mistake that Jackson would make, which was for a brief period of the time, I wasn't paying that much attention to the story because I was like, oh, this is a DLC story. I'm probably not going to miss anything big. And then I missed something big, which resulted in one of my characters being permanently killed. And I was like,
that's cool.
And then I had to kill them. They were a zombie. And I was like, damn, it wasn't meant to go like this.
I like when a game gives you actual consequences. That's great.
Yeah, there's like a part where I missed it. I think the game kind of signposted it a little bit, but there was like a choice, I guess, and I just missed the choice and then ended up keeping this guy that kind of sucked.
That's a shame. How many thumbs?
And then he was all depressed because his wife was dead.
What
a loser.
Three thumbs and a knock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's cheap, it's fun, it's nowhere near as good as the actual mainline games, but I had a good time.
I guess it's like, if you're looking for a fix.
And also, brave to make me kill that many dogs.
Yeah, powerful. Good, even.
Yeah.
What about you, Jack? Have you been killing any dogs in video games?
No. So I played recently a game called Among Trees. Now, I remember a while back, like maybe 2 years ago, Zamet, you sent me I think it was a trailer for this game, where it kind of looked like, say, like The Long Dark, but during summer or during spring.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like
you're
building
that.
A cabin in the woods. There are bears. You're in a big kind of nice, like American woodland environment. Forage for food, forage for, you know, medicine and supplies or whatever. And then I think very recently it came out, like this year. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll grab it. I'll give it a go. It's a survival game that clearly doesn't want to be a survival game, and I think that's pretty weird and
that
funny.
That is odd. Hmm. And it is funny too, I will admit that.
Yeah.
So what kind of game is it?
Well, it opens, like, it's very early, I guess, early release. So it opens, you're in the woods, there's a cabin in front of you that's broken down, you go up to it, it's like, to make a bed, find this amount of resources. So you wander around, you pick up sticks, you take them back to the cabin. You have a hunger meter, a thirst meter, and a tired meter, and a cool, like cold and heat. Yes?
So you
I
really
reckon
like those.
That I have heard you start about 35 reviews with...
Absolutely.
Yeah, the first thing you have to do is make a bed. You got to go find the resources to make a bed.
That is the first... That's the best pitch to get me to play a video game. You have to make your own bed, Jackson. I'm in.
And you'll get hungry.
Yeah, you will be hungry. guess what? You'll need to piss. Oh my god, game of the year. So,
do you have to piss in this game?
No, no, no. But if someone were to make a game wherein that was a like a stat I had to pay attention to, I guess they did with Death Stranding, and I didn't like it. So,
no, that gave you too much story, though.
Yeah,
if you removed all the cutscenes out of Death Stranding, you would that would be your favorite game ever made.
Get rid of all the cutscenes, call it Piss Mountain, and I can fall over it.
Hideo deliver Kojima's packages and piss your pants.
So, I think what I mean by it's a survival game that doesn't want to be a survival game is that it's really pretty. There's a weird LOD issues. So, like, in that, I'm going to get to it. I know that sounds insane. But there's weird LOD issues where it looks like the draw distance for trees just makes them kind of pop in and out, which kind of ruins the immersion. But it's like a nice soundtrack, really pretty environment, and it's just very satisfying and relaxing to just kind of like wander around, collect wood, take it back to your house. You know, oh, it's nightfall, I'm going to go back to bed. And like a game that was kind of just like meditative and like it's gentle like that, that you weren't going to play to win or you weren't going to play to get stressed or anything. You were just like, oh, I'd like to relax for a little bit. Maybe I'll play this. Mm. Would be great. And that would be the game. But it's got all of these survival elements that feel really out of place. So you're like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know if they feel out of place, but they interrupt the rest of the game in a weird way. I don't know. Like you're walking, you're like, oh, I'm exploring the environment. I'm by a nice waterfall. And then the game's like, go find berries. And you're like, well, I got to find the one tree that has the one kind of berry I can eat on it. And I can't kind of keep enjoying my sort of meditative walking experience. There's one enemy, and that is a bear. And the only time I encountered it, its pathing was wrong. So it was just walking in a circle, and I couldn't get, like, I was like, oh, hide in a bush. There's the bear. I'm like, great. And the bear would somehow sense me a little bit, even though I was stealthed, come over to me, be near me, start to ignore me, walk away. I wouldn't change where I was. It'd get maybe like 4 or 5 meters away. Then it would be like, ooh, and just turn around and come sniff me in the grass again. And then it would slowly ignore me. And I was like, well, I can't. There's just nothing I can do here.
Did you try being brave and running?
Yeah, and then it attacked me. And I was like, oh, well, that was a mistake. Why did I listen to the voice of Joel Dusha that popped into my head ever so briefly?
Have you tried killing the bear with a pipe?
Well, I don't have the option. And I don't know if the game's going to give me the option to kill the bear with the pipe. Because it seems to want you to, like, all of the only goals you have at the moment are collect the right resources from the environment, take them to your cabin, expand your cabin. So I think you can expand it to, like, a trophy room, a kitchen.
Nice.
And I think there's one other room, but I forget what it is.
And a trophy room, a kitchen, and yeah, the a third unspecified room. What could you possibly need else in a house? A bedroom, maybe, Jackson?
No, you build the bed. Sorry, the bedroom's the first thing you build, and then your expansions are the other ones. Okay. And I don't know what the third expansion is. Something.
Garage.
for your car. You're doing up a car at the same time. I think this game for me is just like, I don't know, and this sounds so crazy for me to say, but I don't know why they made it a survival game. I don't think it needed to be. I don't think it's involved enough or like detailed enough to make that worth my while. So often I would go on these big journeys out to like get resources and stuff. And also the only place you can get like man-made resources like nails and wood, or not wood, but like nails and screws and stuff. What is from like broken down telephone wires and poles, and underneath them are boxes, and that's it. That's the only place you can get them. So you just find one of them and be like, oh, I know, it's, I don't know, just it wasn't very interesting, I guess. But yeah, I would go on like these big journeys out to get resources, and then I would be walking back freezing to death, but I would be like, well, I don't care, I'm not, it's not frightening, it's not, it doesn't feel like I'm in danger, I just wish it wasn't here. I wish that instead of focusing on trying to make it a survival game, they just made the environment look nicer. And it could be the kind of game that I would jump in for like an hour and be like, that was pleasant, and then stop. That's I guess, my review of Among Trees. Also, the trailer came out like 2 years ago, and it looks worse. So I don't know what to tell you.
Does it feel unfinished, or is it like they just did their best and here it is?
It's definitely unfinished, but I guess what I think is like the building blocks are going to be more food for you to collect, more wood for you to find. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like I don't think it's an interesting enough environment to make that worthwhile. I can get that game in a million different places and do. So what makes this stand out, really? Like, why am I playing this when I could be playing something else? And if the only benefit of this is that it's a
like
relaxing...
Spyro.
Yeah, I could be playing Spyro, exactly. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. I could be playing Spyro Year of the Dragon. A great game.
Yeah. There's skateboarding in that.
Yeah, that's good. Only twice, but it's worth it. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I just think...
I recommend that.
If
you're looking for a skateboarding fix and you're looking for something to do in between the release of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 demo and the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 full game, which I believe will come out in about a week, I recommend checking out Spyro 3 Year of the Dragon. It has some stellar skateboarding levels.
But no hunger meter, so is it
worth no hunger meter. I recommend, if we're recommending skateboarding games, buying a tech deck. That you can use your fingers to pretend you're skating. And that's pretty cool. Tech decks, five thumbs. Okay. Maybe two thumbs.
That seems generous.
Yeah, well, it's not like it's bad. It's just kind of boring. I think if the only thing it has to, like, kind of, I don't know, make it stand out is that it looks very pretty, but the gameplay sucks, and they haven't focused on making it, like, a nice area to explore and enjoy how pretty it looks, then what's the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll just play Long Dark again. Whatever.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah. In fact, maybe one thumb and a knuck, and it loses a knuck because I keep wanting to call it Beyond Trees. Because if I call it Among Trees, I think I'm getting it confused with that game Among the Sleep, where you play a baby that also sucked. So one and a half knucks. It really goes to show that in my reviews, you can lose a knuck for literally anything.
So Jackson, just quickly, so one thumb and a knock, can you also rate the experience of being the only thumb cramp host to not have clocked the game that they were reviewing this week?
I would call that a neutral thumb. I am not miffed.
You say that, but people are going to be writing in being like, wow, Jackson sucks at games. He really sucks
shit.
He's not
a true gamer, I guess.
This episode truly proved that he is the worst gamer of the Thumb Cramps boys.
So I think all up today was nine thumbs and then just a neutral boy. So
it's pretty interesting. Nine thumbs plus one neutral thumb.
What's a neutral thumb?
That's what I gave. Neutral thumb.
No, I know. What?
So this is the thumb? This is a thumbs up?
Yep.
Neutral thumb.
What? Surely that's a neutral thumb.
No,
on the side.
Well, I guess that is a neutral thumb in the arena.
Yeah.
In the Colosseum.
In the Colosseum. Shall he live or shall he die? And then someone pulls a neutral thumb and they're like, we're waiting. Oh, I'm not fazed. I don't care.
Just because our listeners couldn't actually see what Jackson did when we criticized him for doing a neutral thumb, he did a thumbs up and then just turned his hand sideways. So it was still
and
very much a thumbs
up. And then
brought
it to his face a little.
Yeah.
Like
an idiot.
Yeah. Like kind of how, you know, Macaulay Culkin in the cover of Home Alone, how he put his hands on his cheeks.
Sure, that was my thumb. Yeah.
Imagine that with two thumbs up, like, and I guess that's a neutral thumb.
Or alternatively, the Julius Caesar thumb that I gave, which was a thumb pointing horizontal.
Neutral thumb. But a neutral thumb can't, a Julius Caesar thumb can't say neutral forever. That's the point.
Yeah. Well, it could. If he's a master of building tension.
Yeah, it's got to go one way or the other eventually. That's a neutral thumb.
So like a neutral thumb. But the Julius Caesar, but then kind of flips.
Rotate.
So your palm is face up.
Palms facing up. Thumb horizontal. Everyone making fun of you.
You're kind of doing like a shit hitchhiker, you know? Like, hey, give me a lift. But
Anyway.
It's bad.
That's just a lesson in thumbs from the Thumb Cramps, boys.
Yeah, I'm going to give your neutral thumb one thumb and a knock.
Okay, that's a shame.
Okay. So that brings today's episode up to 10 thumbs and a knock, which is very impressive. Very impressive. And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel.
Now remember, get your thumbs palm to the sky.
Yeah. That palm up, thumb out.
Neutrality.
What up, baby?
True neutral, baby.
Ah. Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.